All right, let's open our Bibles to two passages of Scripture tonight. We'll start in Genesis chapter 1. All right, we started a new series of Bible studies that I'm going to do over the next several months. And we're going to look at the pictures of Christ in the Scriptures. I'm certainly not going to look at every one of them. I would die of old age before we ever got out of the book of Genesis. But I'm going to help you to see how to spot the pictures on your own. Just give you some little guidelines to help you do that and show you a few along the way to just kind of hopefully show you how you can read the Bible and see Christ yourself. I have challenged you for 19 and a half years now to read your Bible every day. And to not just read the familiar New Testament books, but to read all the Bible, the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi. And when you do, and you look for the Lord Jesus, you see Him. I have said to you before that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And so they're both there. And you find the Lord Jesus, you find the Apostle Paul, you find Peter, James, John, all of the New Testament writers referring back to the Old Testament and to what was written in the law or what was written by the psalmist or what was written in the prophets. And so the two testaments, the two covenants go together hand in hand. And so what we see in the New Testament is the full developed picture of the snapshot that was taken in the Old Testament. And so that's how we're going to approach this. Now in verse 1 of the Bible, we read these words, "In the beginning, God." In the beginning, God. Now, if you can believe that, then you can believe everything else that's in the Bible. That's where it all starts. In the beginning, God. All right, now what about God? Well, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, our world today has been bombarded by a denial of that statement. The world today says, oh, no, man and the world is here because of the process of evolution. And that 240 million years ago, there was this big bang. And it just blew everything out into space. And the world has been evolving. And over 240 million years, we are where we are in 2015. And so the whole idea of in the beginning God is attacked, it is criticized, it is looked down upon, it is scorned, it is laughed at. But you see where all this evolutionary thinking has gotten our world, don't you? I mean, just in the last 50, 60 years, you can see where all this has gotten us. Man has been reduced to nothing more than an animal. We're just an animal. And the idea is government is the answer. Government is the answer. Is this thing not working? Turn me on here.
Whoa! You heard that, didn't you? And the answer,
I think this one goes in the junk pile. I'm not sure. Okay, back me down just a little bit there. I don't want to deafen everybody. But man is just, we're no different than the animals in the forest. We're no different than animals in the barnyard. And we've got to be controlled, and we've got to have regulations on us. And don't worry, Obama's got it all figured out on how to keep all of us in line. All right, that's the mentality. That's the progressive idea. And so that's where we are in our world today. Well, what we need to do is get back to the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And by the way, when it says he created, that's from nothing. That's from nothing. All right? He created everything that is from nothing. In verse 2, it says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." All right? So we have, in the beginning, God created, and then we have the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So I want you to see Father, verse 1, Son, verse 3, light, and the Spirit of God moved. There's your Godhead right in the first three verses of the Bible. All right, so God made everything that is. All right, now jump down to verse 7. It says, "And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so." All right, so in verse 7, we see here now God made from what he created. He made from what he created. And so if you can believe that God created those first four words, then you can believe the rest of it. It's just that simple. But men today, they want to get God out of the picture. You say, well, what's the problem with God? Well, the problem with God is the sin matter. That's the problem with God. If they can get God out of the picture, then sin is not in the picture. You say, but they know that we're all sinners. Yes, but their perspective, their take on sin is that it's not your fault. It's not your fault. All right? You are the product of evolution. And there are superior beings and there are not so superior beings. And so, folks, I'm telling you, you talk about a messed up world. We are living in a messed up world. All right? Now, in the beginning, God. All right? Now, hang on to those first three verses and go over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And look at verse 1. Everybody there? Okay, look at verse 1. In the beginning, does that sound familiar? Yeah, that's the same thing as I read back here in Genesis, isn't it? In the beginning was the Word. Notice the Word is capitalized. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same, the Word, was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, he made it all. In him was life, and the life was the, what? Light of men. All right? I'm going to show you the picture tonight of Christ, the living Word. The living Word. Now, this that I hold in my hands is the written Word. And it reveals to us the living Word. This is the written Word, and it reveals to us the living Word. I'm going to show you that tonight. Let's pray. Father, we ask now your blessings upon us. Give us understanding, and I just pray your richest blessings upon everything that we say tonight. May it help us to better understand who you are and what you've done for us, what you're going to do for us, and realize that you have given us a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in this book. So, Father, bless what we say tonight and encourage our hearts in our faith. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. When I was in the first grade, my mother was diagnosed with ovarian cancer and had to have extensive surgery. We were not sure. I later found out. I didn't know this at the time. But the doctors told my parents that if they don't do surgery, that my mother would be dead in 6 months. And if they did do surgery, that she would probably be dead within a year, year and a half at the most. And so they did the surgery, and then she had the radiation treatments and everything that went with it. Had a very difficult time, and I basically moved in with my dad's sister, his oldest sister, and her and her family basically took care of me for several months. Now, back in those days, they lived up Coal Fork Holler. All right, that gives you an idea where we were. That's what it was called, Coal Fork Holler. There was a road, and there was a creek, and there was on one side of the road a row of houses, and that was pretty much all the room there was. And you went up about 3/4 of a mile, and then it split, and they lived up the road from where it split, maybe 500 yards, 1,000 yards. And you looked out the window, and there was a mountain there, and you looked over this way, and there was a mountain there, and you got to see the sun about 5-6 hours a day. That was it. There was sunlight. You just couldn't see the sun. That's how narrow it was down in that valley. Now, I tell you that to tell you that this was pre-cable days and pre-satellite days. And they had an old 19-inch Zenith black and white TV with an antenna. But after the sun went down, you could forget reception. We just didn't get reception. And so while I was living with them, you had to search for ways to entertain yourself. And I would do homework right after I got home from school before supper, and then we would eat, and then we had to find ways to entertain ourselves. And I remember that a major source of entertainment was a huge photo album that was sitting on the coffee table in my aunt's house. And my aunt would spend hours after dinner telling me and my little brother and anybody else who was in the room story after story about our descendants. I remember there was, in the very first page, there was a tintype photograph. You remember those? And it was an old tintype photograph of my great-grandfather and my great-grandmother. Now, they were long dead before I was born. They died way back in the early 30s, if I remember right. And that old picture, I can still see them standing there. They did not smile. They just did not smile in those days when they had their picture taken. It was like they were mad at the world. And I remember just looking at that picture, studying that picture. And we didn't watch TV because you couldn't get anything on the TV. We lived so far out in the boonies. And so we spent hours looking at those pictures and listening to the stories about each person as we went through that album. Now, the Bible is much like that old family album with its history written in a succession of pictures and photographs. The Bible album contains many snapshots, but the one person who appears in almost every scene of the pictures in the Bible is the eternal, never-aging person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible can well be described as an inspired album of divine snapshots of the Lord Jesus, God's only begotten Son, God in the flesh. All the other characters, Adam and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Samuel and David and right on, all the other characters in the group shots just sort of fade into the background as he who is the central figure of the Bible becomes more and more clear. Now that leads me to what I want to show you tonight about the pictures that the Bible gives us. I want you to understand this very basic fact, very basic truth about the Bible. The Bible is a progressive, and I hate to use that word, it just galls me to say that, but the Bible is a progressive revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Bible, as you turn the pages of the Bible, more and more is revealed about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. A preacher of the past said, "The Bible is the unfolding drama of God's redemptive plan." And that is so true. That is a great way to state the point. Beginning in the very opening verses of Genesis with the seed of the woman crushing the head in Genesis 3. The seed of the woman crushing the head of the serpent. And then bursting into full glory in the last book of the Bible, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Folks, that's what your Bible's doing. It is revealing to us progressively as it unfolds who Jesus Christ is. And we start in the beginning with the creation. Then we see the fall of man. And we see God intervening and shedding blood and making an atonement, a covering, and making a promise of a redeemer. And the Bible just continues to unfold until we get to the Gospels, and there is that redeemer. And then we see him at the end of the Gospels going to the cross. And we see him dying on the cross. But wait a minute, he didn't stay in the grave. He came out of the grave. And then he ascended back to heaven with the promise that he's coming again. And you get over to the end of the Bible in Revelation, and John sees him coming. And splendor and glory and magnificent is that coming. Oh, it's all in the book. And it's all about Jesus.
It's all about Jesus. And so the Bible is a progressive unveiling that shows us how God sent his son to die on the cross and to take our place in death. So when you start in Genesis and you read the Bible, you first see him, but faintly in the distance. But as the Bible is built, book upon book, chapter after chapter, book after book, it becomes more and more clear as each picture gives a more detailed portrait of the Savior. And soon it becomes clear that the picture that is being drawn is the picture of God's plan of redemption for lost sinners. As the Bible gives more and more close-ups of him, we start to see that what God is doing is giving us, as we read the Bible, a clear message of redemption. Now, there's a lot of spiritual photographers taking pictures for us. A lot of them. A lot of them. And these close-ups of the one person, Jesus, are taken over many, many hundreds of years. But there is miraculously a perfect unity and a perfect purpose to each and every picture that is shown to us in the scriptures. And they began by giving us just faint outlines. And then each new author, as he arrives on the scene, adds some new and some more details until at last we have the composite picture of the eternal Son of God, the Son of Man, God's Redeemer, and the Savior of the world. Now let me illustrate using my aunt's photo album. As I told you a moment ago, when you open that album, there in the on the first page was the old tintype picture of my great grandparents. Their names, you ready for this? Ephraim. They called him Eph. Seriously. My grandfather said that everybody called him Eve except for his wife, Agnes. And she was always mad at him, and she called him by his full name, Ephraim. But they called him Eve. Eve and Agnes Hudson was their last name, Hudson. You say, oh, we got Hudsons in our family. We're related. All right? Now, you didn't flip the page. And there were pictures of all their children. All of my great uncles, my grandfather, all their pictures. And all of their families. And we would flip the page and then my aunt would start telling me stories about this one. And stories about that one. And we would sit there and be entertained. And she would then put a marker when it was 9 o'clock and time to go to bed. And the next evening, we picked it up with the next round of family. And my grandfather had a bunch of sisters and a couple of brothers. Most of them died one way or another, either in the coal mines or from the flu or from something. But he only had a few brothers. But all of them were there, and all their families were there. And I remember as you continued turning, you then saw my dad and his siblings. And then you saw a picture of my dad and my mom when they came back from Indiana and moved back to West Virginia after they got married. And then you flip the picture, the album, and there was a picture of me as a little baby. Yeah, ears and all. And the picture of me with Mom and Dad, I was in Mom's arms, and we were getting into the car to come home from the hospital. They didn't put me in a car seat to bring me home. They just carried me in my mom's arms. And that album, looking back on it now, that album, as far as my eyes were concerned, showed every person responsible for me being on the planet. All right? And that's what the Bible does, folks. It shows us the reason for the main characters of the Bible showing up. And that reason, the reason they showed up and the reason they're in here, is to provide. They're a part of God's provision of redemption for our sinful souls. They're all a part of the plan, a part of God's redemption for mankind. And this progressive revelation that God gives is using word pictures of the Redeemer. As I said to you last week, the Bible is not illustrated with pen sketches or with cartoons or with drawings or with artist renderings, but the Bible is illustrated, the truth of the Bible, God's redemption, that purpose is revealed to us by word pictures conveying to our mind by the use of words the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where faith comes into play. That's where faith comes into play. None of us knew Abraham. None of us were there when God created the heaven and the earth. None of us were there in the Garden of Eden when Adam sinned against God. We weren't there. You say, well, how do you know it's true? Well, by faith. And let me remind you that four times in the Bible, there is this little sub-theme running throughout the Bible, that the just shall live by faith. And the author of the book of Hebrews said, and we know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So faith is the key. Faith is the key. You say, well, where do I get faith? Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Folks, if that was the only reason why we ought to be in church on Sundays and Wednesdays, that ought to be enough. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's ordained method of revealing his Son is by the hearing of the word of God, the hearing of the message of God's word. You see, folks, why is that? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because this book right here is the only source that truly reveals the Lord Jesus Christ. This is it right here. This is the only source that reveals him. You are not going to learn God's plan of redemption and who provided that redemption and how he provided that redemption and why he provided that redemption. You're not going to find it out apart from the Bible. You can't find it in Reader's Digest. You can't find it in the World Book Encyclopedia. Everything that we know about redemption and about the Redeemer has come to us through the revelation that is found in the Word of God. And that's why we have John chapter 1. Look at it again. John 1:1. That's why this verse is here. In the beginning was the Word. and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Folks, I'm telling you, I'm saying that this, the Bible, this is the written Word, and Jesus is the living Word. And they are inseparable. You cannot have one without the other. You just can't. They're inseparable. And this is why the devil has launched such an all-out attack upon the Bible. Folks, from the beginning of the church in the first century, the devil has stirred men to attack the Bible. And they're still attacking it today. In pulpits, in academia, in printed page, on blogs, on the internet, evil intended men and women are still attacking the Bible. They deny the book of Genesis by saying that, oh, that's not true. That's just a bunch of old myths and fables. That's just a bunch of old Jewish wives' tales. We all know that we got here by the evolutionary process. Well, you can believe that foolishness if you want to. I'm going to believe that what the Bible says, and God says, in the beginning, He created the heaven and the earth. They deny the flood and the judgment of God and say that the Genesis account is nothing but a bunch of myths. Well, I don't believe it's a bunch of myths. They deny the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and ridicule anyone who believes what the Bible says on that subject. Well, listen, folks, when you attack the written Word, let me tell you something. You're attacking the living Word. And if there are errors in the Bible, and if the Bible is wrong, if it is filled with mistakes and myths, then it cannot possibly be the Word of God. And you know, the truth is, you need to decide for yourself what you believe about the Bible. Now, I believe it's God's Word. And it's either God's Word or it's not. I just happen to believe it is. It is either the infallible truth that has been given to us, inspired of God, or it is the biggest fraudulent lie that has ever been pawned off on an unsuspecting society. So which is it in your heart? I believe it's the Word of God. I believe it's the authoritative truth from God. So when I hear somebody say, 210 million years ago, I just want to say, you were there? How do you know that? But they say it like it's authoritative. No, this is authoritative right here. Men have tried to destroy this from its inception, folks. From the time God gave it, men have tried to destroy this Bible. And they have failed every time. We still got the Bible. Because this is God's eternal Word. I just happen to believe it's the truth of God. And I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to keep preaching that as long as God gives me breath. I believe it is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It is a revelation of who Jesus is. Who is God's provision for the redemption of our souls from hell. And folks, that's why every time when you come to church here, you're going to hear me or somebody that I appoint to stand in my place say, open your Bible. As long as I'm the pastor here, you will never hear me tell you that this coming Sunday, we're going to discuss Disney's Frozen. You'll never hear me say that. You'll never hear me say we're going to see the life values behind a certain movie that comes out of Hollywood. I'll never say that. No, we need to hear what God has to say. Man's eternal needs are never going to be found in anything that comes out of Hollywood. Never. Redemption is not going to be found in a novel on Oprah's book list. but it'll be found in the written word, the Bible, which reveals to us the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. So folks, listen, the Bible is, it's all or nothing. That's what it comes down to. It's either all true or it's all a lie. And again, I say, I believe it's the truth. You want me to tell you why I so strongly believe it's the truth? Let me show you why I believe that so strongly. I believe that so strongly because the Lord Jesus believed that it was the truth. You say, well, that Noah thing, that flood, that's just all a bunch of hooey. No. The Lord Jesus believed in the flood. He said so. You say, oh, that Sodom and Gomorrah stuff, that's a bunch of myth. No. The Lord Jesus said that Sodom and Gomorrah happened. He used that as an illustration. Let the heathen rage, and let the people imagine a vain thing. Let the fool say in his heart, there is no God. Go ahead. But I am going to believe what the written word says, because the living word believed what and believes what the written word says. Amen. Go over to Luke. You're already in John. Just go back a couple chapters to Luke 17. Luke 17, look at verse 26. Luke 17, 26. This is the Lord Jesus speaking, and he's talking about his second coming. And in verse 26, he says, and as it was in the days of who? Noah. Noah. Now, if this was a bunch of myths, do you think Jesus would have spoken about it as if it was an actual event that happened? Well, of course not. No. But he knew. He was speaking authoritatively. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. Look at verse 27. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the what? Oh, Jesus didn't think it was a myth, did he? And the flood came and destroyed them all. Look at verse 28. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Destroyed them all. Look at verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. He even believed that Lot's wife got turned into a pillar of salt. That's the living word validating the written word. I'm just going to believe what Jesus said. Folks, the truth is the word pictures are etched upon every page of the scriptures. You know what the problem is? The problem is we don't read the scriptures enough to see them. Oh, read your Bible, Christian. Read your Bible. At first, these pictures may seem a little vague and a little indefinite and a little hard to see. But the more we read and see the rest of the scripture unfold, we start to see the picture that God is painting for us. All right, now, let's in our minds go back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, if we read no further than this, we might not see the Lord Jesus very clearly. If we read no further than that, we might not see him in those verses. But if we keep reading, And then we keep reading, and then we keep reading. And we end up, go back to John 1, we end up in John chapter 1 in the New Testament now. And we look at the first verse, in the beginning was the Word. And then our mind goes back, wait a minute, yes, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And then I get to the New Testament, and more of the picture is starting to, you remember those old Kodak pictures, you know, where you snapped it and you pulled it out, and then you waited, what, 3 minutes or something like that, and then you peeled that back off of it, and when you peeled that back off of it, you just watched the picture unfold right in front of you. Remember those? And then 6 weeks later, they all faded and you couldn't see a thing. Remember that? Well, we just keep reading, and we think to ourselves, wait a minute, I've read that before. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wait a minute. In the beginning, God created the heaven. Wait a minute. God was Christ. God is Christ. And then you start to see, wait a minute, here's my Redeemer. That's why he's redeeming us, because he made us. And it all starts to come clear to you, doesn't it? And if we keep reading, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. But then look at verse 14, and we find out, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. What kind of glory was it, John? The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, when you saw Jesus, you saw God. God in the flesh. So it becomes clear that the God of creation in Genesis 1 is the same as the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We discover that this great Creator, the Word of God, was Jesus, and that point becomes even more clear when we read that 14th verse. Now, if I read past Genesis 1:1 and read the rest of the chapter, I see 10 times in this chapter these words in Genesis 1, and God said, and God said, and God said. Now, when you say something, what are you saying? Words. And the Word was made flesh. Whoa. Wait a minute, and God said? You mean God spoke? Yes. That's what I'm saying. And so Jesus is the living Word, and what he spoke is the written Word. Y'all see all that? God spoke? Yeah, that shouldn't surprise you. Because God is the Word. All right, turn over to Colossians real quick, chapter 1, Colossians. Here's Paul's take on all this. Look at verse 14. He said, in whom, speaking of Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who, speaking of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. Well, we've learned that already, haven't we? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Kind of sounds to me like he's got everything under control. He's running the whole shooting match. Amen. Go back to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. All right, so Paul told us that Jesus created everything. Moses told us in Genesis 1, God created everything. John told us that God was Jesus, the Word. Now let's see what David says. Verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Wow. There ain't a scientist on the planet can do that. By the word of the Lord. And God spoke. When you speak words. So the living word, the Lord Jesus, is the written word. Same authority. You know, the only thing that that God ever put above his name was his word. And yet, we sit around and criticize the Bible. Shame on us. Well, a better translation would be, oh, baloney. You have no clue what you just said. You have no clue. Well, this is not in, these verses aren't in some text. Well, then don't read those texts. They're corrupted. And yet we want to sit around and mince words. Just read it and believe it. I've told you before, that little bumper sticker, I saw it and I love it. It says, you know, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Well, wait a minute. God said it. I believe it. Period. I mean, if God said it, believe it. If he said it, believe it. Just believe it. If it's in the book, believe it. And so as you read the Bible now, look for the Redeemer. Look for Jesus. You're reading the written word. While reading the written word, look for the photos of the living word. And watch as the picture unfolds right before your very eyes. That's your Bible. That's your Bible.